أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا ونور عرش أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين بالقاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a revelation called the Quran, which is that which is recited, that which is followed, that which is understood, that which is practiced. The Quran has many meanings. And in this blessed book, in the 29th chapter, and the 6th verse of this 29th chapter, meaning Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah says, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيُّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Basically, Allah says, anyone who struggles, struggles for his own benefit. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me that this world, which is a world of trials, it is a world in which there are difficulties, and it is a world in which we've been given the opportunity to be lazy, we've been given the opportunity to be forgetful, we've been given the opportunity to be mindless, to be reckless, to be, in many ways, one would say, to have negative attributes in our character. And yet, Allah has allowed me the ability and the potential to save myself from such destruction through this process called struggle. Jihad. The root word jahada, meaning to struggle. This word, obviously, in the modern world today, particularly the media, has abused it, because they have an agenda, naturally, unfortunately I must say, to belittle this great religion, Islam. And I really think sometimes, as wrong as they are, and as confused as they are, and as misinformed as they are, we are partly to be blamed for our misdeeds. Because certainly our misdeeds in public sets a wrong message to the other sides, and naturally they take advantage of that, and then the next thing you know, the media capitalizes on it only due to our own faults, which is where we lack the fact that we're not struggling enough. For example, with due respect to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, which in my opinion is one of the greatest events in the history of the human race, where people ask the question that why do you commemorate, why do you give such importance to the tragedy, to the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, and not the other prophets, for example, or why not commemorate the martyrdom of Hamza, who was killed in the Battle of Uhud, or why not give the martyrdom of the Blessed Messenger, who is the central figure in Islam, why not give importance to him rather than give importance to Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Inshallah, we'll discuss that, because the event of Karbala, where our Blessed Imam exposes all characters of evil and misdeeds, and he exemplifies with perfection as a reflection of the message of the Blessed Messenger of Allah, by divine decree having been appointed as a representative of Allah. If you put this compendium thought into perspective, we come to a realization that this commemoration is indeed one of the most, if not the most important events in the world, in the history of the human race. But this commemoration, I must say, has a pragmatic approach to it. It's not a ritual. It's not something that we have kept going because it happens to give us a sense of identity as those who love Ahlul Bayt, or particularly the Shia. And it has given us the ability to sustain abuse and oppression in the world, and therefore it's become an identity issue. Meaning we Shia, for example, those who love Ahlul Bayt, have been very oppressed since the Prophet's time and after his moment, after his departure that is. And therefore, we take a lot of solace through these kinds of oppressions because we are identifying ourselves through that. But that is really not the reason why the event of Karbala took place. The event of Karbala took place in order for you and I to have a clear vision in life. A vision where you will notice that in this world, when we are being tried and tested, one of the most difficult things you will notice in any academic discussion or philosophical discussion or self-introspection that you and I may go through is the fact that there are many gray areas in life that you and I cannot decipher whether we should do it and whether it's good or bad. And many a times people ask the question that how come there are so many religions out there, and when we do delve into the Abrahamic faiths, for example, there seems to be quite a bit of overlap in these ideas, and therefore it's very confusing as to which religion is really the true religion. It's confusing, for example, you know, when an atheist comes and poses a few scientific questions, sometimes it's very difficult for a theist and a believer in God to be able to counter those arguments, and therefore we say this world is very gray. It's not so black and white, it's not so easy to decipher right from wrong, and therefore it's a difficult world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us in a state of quandary and difficulty, no. Allah says, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. There is no compulsion in religion. No one can compel a person to become a follower of something. There is no compulsion. This is in the Quran. لا إكراه في الدين. No compulsion in religion. قد indeed تبين الرشد من الغي. Truth is clear from error. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling me that His religion is not gray. It's black and white. So then how come most of us think it's black and white? It's gray. This is something we need to discuss. In fact, it's not gray. It's very black and white. Because the black and white that the Quran is talking about are the fundamental principles of black and white. Not the social misbehaviors that you and I have and the confusion that we give off to each other, which makes us confused about religion. No, we're talking about fundamental, meaning there's a clear black and white. And the event in Karbala is clearly sifting the gray into black and white, because at that time people were confused. Is Yazid and the Banu Umayyah and Muawiyah truly a leader of Islam? Are they truly leaders of God? Has God really given them immunity to commit the kind of acts that they're committing? Is it acceptable in the religion of God to commit the acts of the Banu Umayyah the way they performed? Can it come under the tutelage of the Holy Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can it come under the same umbrella of Islam? And there's no ambiguity in this matter. Come on, let's not beg the question. One has to be really foolish, outlandishly foolish, to even consider the fact that such people could ever come under the tutelage of the Holy Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for that matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of their deeds, or for that matter for them to come under the judgment day. The human being will be so cognizant of his own self when he say, nafsi, nafsi, what's going to happen to me? Our blessed imams have mentioned it, and it's even in the Quran. But the point is here very clear that you and I need to protect this self with the realization that we need to be vigilant, we need to understand our responsibilities, and never lose hope that this religion which Allah has laid for me, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Right? This is the religion that Allah gave with the messengers, that it will supersede all other religions. The religion of hope, a religion of safety, tranquility, a religion which is reasonable. It is a religion that's practical, simple. So let's not complicate ourselves. And this message of Imam Hussein is not a complicated message. It's a simple message. And I don't need to complicate it. I like its simplicity. But I also like to crack the whip on myself and others. For clearly it's our obligation. They say, tawasaw bilhaq, wa tawasaw bilsabr. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If you study other religions, particularly the Christian faith, for example, you will see that the issue of hope has got a different dimension from the issue of hope in Islam. There's a beautiful verse in Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. He says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. This verse is incredible. Whenever I discuss this issue with my Christian brethren on the issue of faith and religion and being saved and why we need to be Muslims, you will see that the fundamental argument goes that there is no condemnation at birth. No child is condemned at birth. There is no damnation. There is no eternal sin. We're not born with sin. A human being, according to Islam, is not born in sin. Is born blessed, whether it's a white child, a black child, a brown child, a yellow child. A Christian, a Jew, an atheist. A child is a pure child. It's a child that's given equal opportunity like every other person. And their heart is clean. Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions that. He said, every child born of every family is a clean child. And it's not imprinted with evilness. It's not naturally taught to be an evil being. Thus when we question the integrity of Muawiyah and Yazid and the Saddams that passed away, that we ask, are these people pre-programmed to be so wicked? Or did they become wicked because of the nurturing that took place in their societies? And the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Messenger Imam Ali alayhi salam clearly explains to us that in fact all of this evilness is part of the nurturing that takes place which makes a person evil. Otherwise, as far as their nature is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that everything is good. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ صَلَوَاتَ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدُ. So brothers and sisters, we have to understand that this hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, unlike any other religion in the world, when Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, say to my worshippers, those who have gone astray, those who have gone beyond their limits. You know, you notice that Allah's system, the religion of life, in fact, the system of life always has limits. It has to have limits. Every child, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims, are taught limits. You can do this, but you can't do that. To a child, when they are born, they don't have a difference between limits. To them, the world is their limit. But then they learn that when you have a toy and it's not yours, you must let go of it. Or you must not take it because it's not yours. Your desires are strong, you want it, but you are taught, don't. And then there are things a child wants to touch and is told, don't touch it. It will hurt you. It will harm you. So don't do it. Limits. People learn limits. That's the physical limitations, but there's also spiritual limitations. My use of words on this podium has limitations. If I'm vulgar, it's out of limits. If I'm harsh, it's out of limits. If I'm condescending, it's out of limits. If I use or I abuse somebody, it's out of limits. You notice, I'm aware of my limitations. Hence, it's part of this struggle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me for. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It's getting rather crowded in here, so we request if you kindly move forward. I know it's a bit, there's plenty of space in the front here. If you don't mind, please. May Allah bless you. Thank you so much. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. It's always a blessing when such events take place where so many people come, regardless of who the speaker is, because everybody's come to be touched by the moment of that tragedy, hopefully hoping that our year, which has just begun in Muharram, will take on a positive light. It's amazing that we Muslims, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt especially, have been blessed with a new year that begins with sadness. It's a blessing. Every other people pop champagne, indulge in indecent activities, produce illegitimate children, violate every possible moral injunction because it's a new year. But yet for us, we're blessed that we're kept in check by the sadness and the remembrance of the true reality of life. We're kept in check that our year begins with reflection, self-introspection, tears, which denotes truthfulness, honesty, which takes us in a direction of realization that yes, what a blessing a new year has begun, and what a blessing that I have been chosen by my Lord to be tested, and what a blessing that I've been given the best role model how to sustain this difficult exam, and what a blessing to be one follower of that religion which Allah has not left its people bereft of a guide, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ, that our Khalifa is constant. Adam alayhi salam was the first Khalifa, and Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja, is the last Khalifa, and it's continuous till Judgment Day, that never was there a day where there was no Khalifa on earth. Even the time between Isa alayhi salam and our blessed messenger, people ask, who was the Khalifa of the time? And you will notice that Allah had already established the Khalifa from the branch of Bani Ismail. That Ismail alayhi salam's children, starting from Adnan forward, they were the Khalifa, but they were silent Khalifas. That in the time of that moment of silence between the messengers, Abu Talib, Abdul Muttalib, the generation of the Holy Prophet, the Banu Hashim, were the Khalifas of the time. They were the guardians of the house of Allah. They were the protectors. They were the gauging point of wrong from right. And they were the Hujjah of the time, the witnesses of the time. Many people don't even know this. We are so blessed that Allah has made sure that we have never been left without a guide. That Allah has guided me completely in this Quran. That when we read the spirit of this Quran, you will find it is not a book that is schismatic, a book that brings harm and destruction to people. No. It only destroys cancers. It destroys the dirty ones. It destroys the infidelity. It destroys the evilness that a person or a group of people have decided to create trouble for the rest of us. And yes, under those conditions, it's a great book. As Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. Meaning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in this Quran is an intercession. It is a protection. It is a cure for the believers. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ, and a mercy. And Allah says, and it does not increase for the evildoers, ظَالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا, except destruction. And that's a good note, because if you and I look in the world today, who are the people that we would love to have destroyed? By the will of Allah, who are the people we would love to see destroyed? Nobody but the ones who are causing destruction. Nobody but the ones who are killing people. Nobody but the ones who pretend to be good, even in the name of God. Those extra zealot ones also who pretend to be fighting in the cause of Allah, for example. Those who are murdering people and beheading people and burning them with oil and fire, etc., etc. Those are the ones Allah says, وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. Those Allah destroys them in this world and in the hereafter. So yes, I am very honored as a Muslim that I have a book that Allah has guided me, given me representatives, and has never left my generation of human race without a guide. That Adam alayhi salam was the first messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there was never a disconnection in the continuity. That Jesus alayhi salam, Isa, who our Christian brethren consider to be the son of God, was the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never in his lifetime while he walked on this earth did he ever claim to be the son of God, nor did he ever say, worship me, I am God. Not even in the Bible. That's the beauty of the religion of God. That even if you go to the scriptures of the other faith, you will see it's very clear that the message is continuous. That we as Muslims have been blessed with a religion where we need to go and speak to our Christian brethren and Jewish brethren and people of other faith and tell them that we are your brothers and that you follow many things that I follow and I follow many things that you follow. And let us unite. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Come, let's talk about one God. Why this God? Because this is the prescription of good morality. Morality is the key foundation to all these discussions. I started my presentation when I mentioned that this room was noisy, when the Quran was being recited. It's lack of morality. When a person is gentle, pleasant, amicable, attractive, magnetic, worthy, trustworthy, that's a person with a good moral. And the Prophet says, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to perfect your moral traits. And the Quran is a guide for the moral traits. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. This is a book which guides you to the most, that which is most upright. So brothers and sisters, in the commemoration of Imam Hussein, and in drawing this vast picture of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us, it is the only religion in the world where forgiveness is open. That don't ever lose hope. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Surely God forgives all your errors, mistakes. Of course, there are certain things that are not forgivable, such as a person deifying Allah with a partner, shirk. Allah says, I don't forgive that, because you are corroding the very center of your reality. You're corroding the very center of your existence, and therefore your morality is going to be completely skewed, and everything you will do thereafter is destructive. And such destructive behavior sometimes is not forgivable. But we are Muslims, alhamdulillah. So let's hold ourselves liable to this, brothers and sisters. Let's hold ourselves liable to the jihad. Let's hold ourselves liable to the fact that this religion, when we talk to our brethren of other faith, that this is the religion that every child is born pure. This is the religion where every prophet is represented. This is the religion where there is no gap. This is the religion that Allah has ensured that after the message of Allah was complete, upon the appointment of our blessed Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, you find Allah says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Today I complete this favor. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I'm making this, it's a blessing, ni'mah for you. I have completed it. It's complete. The circle is complete. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul wa ulil amri minkum. All you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger and those who have authority over your affairs. The third group is very critical. All these commemoration issues, problems in the world today, schisms, fighting, murder, if you go down deep into it, you will see it's the problem of the third group. Go back even to the Christian faith and see, did Jesus ever appoint Paul to represent him? No. Paul represented himself through a dream. Look at the problems. Look around you. Problems everywhere. Allah says, قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Say, are you teaching Allah your religion? See, it's very cut and dry. Why am I a Muslim? Why do I need to bother with this religion? Why do I need to submit to anything? Because I know I have a need. If there is no God to teach me, I'm a beast. And I can't exist. It's rationally impossible for something to come into existence from nothing, with nothing, by nothing. It's absurd. But I exist. And the one who made me didn't make me haphazardly. He even went so far to make sure my eyebrows were in the right direction. Such that when I look in the mirror, it's not repulsive.
He went so far as to make even the very inner workings of my body automated. That I don't even have to think about it. I'm a forgetful being, all right. I tend to forget a lot. I can sometimes even take the trash out. But my body is fixed. Well, when there's trash in it, it gets rid of it the right way. Subhanallah. My Lord is telling me, look, I took care of you. You think I made you just like this to dangle and to float on this earth? Or did I create you for a purpose? Did I give you this intellect and this power of elocution and the power of talking that your throat is so dangerously placed where your jugular, I mean not the jugular, my vocal cord is right above where I swallow. That any lower I wouldn't be able to produce sound. Subhanallah, Allah says, don't you consider? أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ فَلَخْتَمْ عَمَلْ حَقَبَ Allahu Akbar. Did we not give you أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا One tongue. وَشَفَتَيْنِ Two lips. And we guided you. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ To the two paths. What's the two paths? The path of good. And the path that you must avoid. The path that you are told to follow. And the path you are told not to follow. Allah is telling me, look at my mercy upon you. You think you came by accident? So when I simply cut and dry, look at that. And I look around me, that even those who reject Allah, even those who reject God, tell me that you must be a good person. And it baffles me. Believe me, it baffles me. I said, good person? You say there's no God. Where did you get the good from? He says, good for the sake of good. I said, what does that mean? It's a silly argument. Because I should be evil for the sake of evil then. Who sets the pace? Who tells me what's wrong and what's right? He says, well, it just tells me it's good. I said, you've told me that your whole religion revolves around scientific observations. Your religion is made of scientific observations. You're an empiricist. You need logical arguments. You need rational proof. I said, where is your rationality? Where is your proof of morality in science? Show me where morality exists in science. Chemistry doesn't have morality. Biology doesn't have morality. Cosmology doesn't have morality. Physics doesn't have morality. Biology doesn't have it. No science has it. Mathematics even doesn't have it. So where did you tell me to be good? Subhanallah. It's tapping me in the head and says, look at this guy. He's rejecting me. But he knows deep down, he can't function at the core level of his humanity outside of this very basic nature that he needs to be good. Where are you going to get your good from? Who's going to tell you what's good? You are? You don't even know which land you will die on. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ No self knows on which land they will die. None of us, guaranteed, knows what's going to happen the next half an hour. None of us. We may have premonitions, we may have feelings, but no one can put their finger on it and say, this is going to happen. Allah says, no way. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ The knowledge of time is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you have? So I know, which human being is going to come and tell me what to do? So can I appoint somebody to represent me on behalf of Allah? Allah says, you can't. Allah says, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا He says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, we made you an imam for the people. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً The verb جَعَلَى is always preceded in any appointment in the entire Quran. There is not a single individual who is a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the entire Quran whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not precede it with the word ja'ala. Meaning I make you make. Even Musa alayhi salam, I've used this example many times. I'm talking about the walaya here, very important issue. Because this completes the circle. It reduces oppression. It clears the vision.
Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Musa, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to Fir'aun. He has exceeded his boundaries. Go. And when you go, speak to him with a soft tongue. Fir'aun, look in my religion. When I read the Quran, I'm holding this book. A big book that is accused of being a book that promotes terrorism. A book that is accused of being sided, or it belittles one gender over another, or it looks down upon the human race, which is absolutely not true. That up to that extent, the spirit of the Quran is exemplifying itself. That Fir'aun, who killed so many firstborns, he was a tyrant among tyrants, that Allah uses him as a role model tyrant in the Quran. That this one deserves the greatest punishment of Allah. Yet, under even those conditions, Allah is saying to his representative, when you go to this tyrant, speak to him with a soft tongue. Allahu Akbar. That's the power of my religion, Islam. That when I read it, that when my Lord is talking to me, he's telling me, this is the religion I conferred upon you. The religion of humanity, the religion of humility, religion of morality, the religion of goodness. The religion of unity and promotion of goodness to mankind. Not a religion of creating fitna and murder and killing people. That even when you go to Fir'aun, speak to him with a soft tongue. Yet Musa alayhi salam, having been given this authority, does not appoint anybody as his brother. He says, وَجْعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِ هَارُونَ أَخِي. Allahu Akbar. Meaning Musa alayhi salam is saying to Allah, that you have commanded me to go to this tyrant. Give me, make my brother my helper. Allahu Akbar. He doesn't say, okay Allah, I'll take care of it for you. Don't worry about it. Even to that level, Musa alayhi salam says, وَجْعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِ هَارُونَ أَخِي. Allahu Akbar. Meaning Allah is showing the spirit of the Quran, that when it comes to leadership, even a prophet who's now being commanded to go forward does not appoint a representative on his behalf without Allah's command of it. Can you imagine when Allah says, wa ulil amri minkum ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul wa ulil amri minkum, that those who have authority over us, you think it is left upon us to decide and to choose? No way. No way. But I am saying this not for the sake of bringing differences between different schools of thought, but to explain to us that if you and I categorically do not prescribe to the ways of Allah's religion, we are going to create trouble for ourselves. We are going to cause carnage, we are going to cause destruction, and this is why our blessed Imam was killed in Karbala. Even Musa alayhi salam, what a prophet he was, that from birth Allah appointed him. Allah protected him. And who is Fir'aun? Killing firstborns. Look what does Allah say. Look at the message of Allah. He says, you are an arrogant person. You think you've got authority. I will punish you by the very element that you are against. And I'm going to bring this prophet and you are going to raise him. How's that? The very one who's going to destroy you, you are going to raise him yourself. Allahu Akbar. You want to see Allah's plan? Allah said, وَمَكَرُ وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. They plan. Allah is the best of planners. That's why today when I see all this hell on earth, I have hope. Because Allah said, let them. Everybody comes back to me. Even that child who's been abused, I will reward that child. Every person who's been beheaded unfairly. Every bullet that has penetrated a head that has caused the man to die unfairly. That person will be rewarded greatly. And the one who plunged the bullet will be punished eternally. Allah is just. Allah says, don't lose hope. Wallahu basirun bima ta'amaloon. Allah sees what you do. Allah sees everything. So don't be fooled. And I take solace in that. So you find Musa alayhi salam, with all his difficulty, having suffered and taken the Bani Israel out of the clutches of the biggest tyrant of his time. Even up to that extent, these people doubted him. He went up to the mountain only for 40 nights. And they doubted him. There's a message for you and me. That just because you and I claim that we love Ahlul Bayt, true. But we've got to be vigilant. Don't take it as face value. Struggle with it. Fight it, because shaitan looms in our heads all the time. And there are trickeries that he brings upon us. where he makes us use the Ahlul Bayt as mantelpieces that we rub every once in a while when we need them, and then we forget them. Shaitan says, good, just rub it, but move. We said, no. Allah says, wa ulil amri minkum. The ita'at here is unconditional. Wa ulil amri minkum. We do it. But even under those conditions, my point here is that Musa alayhi salam, within a short time, when he was given the promised land, even at that stage, they doubted him. And what happened? Because people reject Allah's religion, people get punished. So Musa alayhi salam also suffered. They say for 40 years he wandered in the desert, though Allah protected them, but he suffered with them. Our imams, the same thing. Same. Our messengers, the same thing. They brought the religion of truth. People disobeyed. They burdened the messengers and they suffered. Our imam reflected the message of truth. People disobeyed. The imam suffered and they were killed. Constant. So where is the solution? The solution lies in you and me practicing. A couple of things I want to make a point. Tomorrow I'll speak more about it. Look at this community tonight. It's a full house here. It's a blessing, this building. It's a blessing. The organizers are blessing. Everything's a blessing. The media is taking place. These speakers, this equipment. You think this comes for free? I see people come to these places. No one ever bothers to ask. Who's paying for all this? What do you think? You think money comes from the sky? Or you think they have trees, grow money? No. There are donors who come and they give. Silently giving. The reward they're getting, Allahu Akbar. Every heart that is being touched tonight, there is a spirit in it if it is being touched. For if that child or an adult walks away and says, I want to be a better Muslim tonight, well then the one who made this venue possible is being rewarded. Now, you and I are experts in investments. Let's not fool ourselves. We're very good. I've even seen people who can't recite Quran because they say something's wrong, I have a block in my brain, you know. The Fatha Kisra, I don't know, just doesn't work. But the three-letter codes for stock market? Very fast, just like that. Oh yeah, that's the good one over there. I said, yeah, you learned this? He says, well, you know. I said, how about that one? Brain doesn't work too well. We're very good in investments. What should we do with our investments? Are we going to take this money with us? You know what's beautiful about being a lover of Ahlul Bayt? You can unleash 1,000 examples about Ahlul Bayt, how they behave, and none of us in this room can deny it. Because it's in the Quran. And you say, well, are you a lover of Ahlul Bayt? Yeah. Why do you love them? Oh, they were so generous. They gave their lives. So let's tap each other on the shoulder and say, well, if you're generous, what about that? Because after all, didn't the Imam come to show us how to be generous? So I want to make a point here. I've been watching this community for many times. I've come. This is a wonderful community. But these venues are costly. And I know the people in the world listening, whichever venue you follow, it's costly, brothers and sisters. Please, help out. And don't bargain with Allah. Give £5, £1, a penny, a million. What's the difference? We're not taking it with us. Imam Ali makes a beautiful statement. He said, when you have wealth, do not be burdened with it. Give it to those who are in need so that they can carry it for you. So that on judgment day they will return it to you because they will have carried your burden for you. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions. Meaning you're not losing it. Oh no, you're not losing it. Like a man who came to Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam and says, here's my wealth, can you please invest it? Imam Jafar Sadiq takes it and he invests it to the poor people. The rich man asks him after a while, what have you done? Imam said, don't worry, you will see its reward soon. He had so much love and trust in our blessed Imam. He said, I trust you. And history says that soon after his death, not only after his death, but even during his lifetime, he saw the returns very fast. But the question is, we should not be giving it for the return. We should give it for the hubbillah. لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إن نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا. Meaning, we don't want reward from you. We are aware of our Lord watching us, but we are giving for the love of Allah. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّي. For the love. Give it for the love, brothers and sisters. I go to so many graveyards. I go to so many people after their death, and I monitor them, and I said, where is his money? And Allah is telling me, you, Hasanain, your money is going to stay behind too. It's not coming with you. Thus, Imam Hussain alayhi salam was very much aware of that when he went to Karbala. He spent the money to buy that land. He wasn't worried about the money. Imam Ali alayhi salam used to come home after a wealthy day, after earning the most amount of wealth. They say Imam Ali alayhi salam was so wealthy in his period of time, if he would have kept his money, he would have been the wealthiest man of his time. But yet, he used it only for his survival and his family's happiness, survival. But the rest he distributed because he felt a great honor to give. Brothers and sisters, this community in England, especially this community that's here tonight, is in need of programs, is in need of expansion, is in need of Islamic schools. We find that there's only one Islamic school in the entire London, city of London. It's terrible considering the number of Muslims we have and the number of children that are going to get lost if we don't give them some moral injunction and moral guidance. What are we going to do? Some of us are so busy investing in our own worldly matters, only when death catches us, we don't even have time to change our expressions on our faces. I'm not saying to go and empty out your pockets. I'm saying let's be vigilant. Let's be focused. Let's ask ourselves, what is my purpose in life? What has Allah created me for? If not to do this, why am I commemorating the Shahada of Imam Hussein? Didn't he have beautiful children? Look at Ali Akbar. He said, the Prophet, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, any time I wanted to remember the Messenger of Allah, I would look at Ali Akbar. I'm inciting your hearts, and including mine, brothers and sisters, because that's the reality that we need to follow by. That as much as he loved his grandfather and he loved his son, yet you find Ali Akbar is helped by his father to alight on a horse. That's a message to me. Imam says, your money is precious to you. How about your son? Is he precious to you? Imam says, I even gave that. Brothers and sisters, when this basket comes tonight, this is something that I've asked the organizers, because I think it's our duty. I found out today that a few group of people in this community are being burdened and stressed. They're being stressed to have to pay for all this venue. And I think it's unfair. We as a community, including myself, have to participate, even if it's $1, £1. We have to practice what we preach. So I ask us all, brothers and sisters, tonight, kindly, and for the rest of the nights, let's be visionary, please. I admire people who give charity. Allah mentions in the Quran, وَسَارِوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. They give in good times and in bad times, and they hold back their temper. We cannot argue against this. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So while this basket is coming around, I know it's a bit of a distraction sometimes, but that's the price to pay when it comes to getting some support. And you know, honestly, there should be a basket out there. You come in, give charity, give. Walk outside, you see a poor person, give, brothers and sisters. I have stories to tell you in my life that I'm such a passionate believer that when you give charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds instantaneously. But here's one that I will share with you while this basket is going around. A person comes and asks Imam Ali alayhi salam, how do I save myself from a tragic death? You know, we are all subject to some tragedy, any time, any moment. We go outside, we can be hit by a car. A crazy person come and shoot you. Anything can happen. How do you and I protect ourselves? Even to the children. You find children when they go to school, you find some of them get bullied. You know, some kids kill themselves. They commit suicide because they are bullied too much. They can't handle it. The world is like that. It's filled with people who have all types of peculiarities. But here's the point that I wish to make. Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions that if you want to save yourself from tragedy, give sadaqah. Sadaqah saves you from tragic death. Sadaqah saves you from dying a treacherous death. Sadaqah will protect you. Give. Allah loves people who give. Giving is a sign of a believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, without going too deep into this, I know that you and I understand the dynamics of this. And without me becoming one of those fundraising agents out here, I'm speaking not as a fundraiser. I'm speaking as a believer of Allah, and I'm speaking as a lover of Ahlul Bayt. And on that note, Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I see my time is up. I need to conclude briefly. I apologize for having taken a little extra time, but I want to conclude tonight being a Saturday night. Yesterday, after I spoke with regards to evil, inshallah I'll touch on that subject, I promised my brother. And there was a sister who came yesterday also, and she asked me to speak about love of Allah and how do we love Allah. I will speak about it inshallah tomorrow and touch more on it. And with the issue of evil too. Some of you, by the way, have excellent questions when it comes to these issues. And a forum like these is important for us to have a clear understanding about this religion of Islam. And I hope that you indulge in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, wants us to struggle. And He wants us to fight our desires, as I've mentioned. He has blessed us with a complete religion. He has protected us and given us the best leaders. And that best leader, of course, in our night of commemoration tonight, is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In this commemoration, you find the akhlaq of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The akhlaq of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was so impeccable that while he was traveling to Kufa, while he was moving towards Kufa, why? Because the people asked for leadership. While Imam Hussein was moving, Yazid sends an army under the command of Hur al-Riyahi, who was a commander of a small army of a few thousand. Actually, I think it was just 1,000 people. And he sends him to block Imam Hussein alayhi salam from reaching Kufa. And the reason was Kufa historically was the heart of the lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. As we know historically, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he becomes the Khalifa for 4 years and 9 months, he moves his central command to Kufa, which was in Iraq. He moves it there from Medina strategically because there was an expansion of the Muslim Empire and it was a very strategic location. And of course, there is also wisdom and much history in time, which unravels later in time, that today in the history of Iraq, for example, which was Mesopotamia, as they say, you look at that region, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed a very important event in this heart place where Imam Ali alayhi salam becomes the foundation. You find under Saddam's rule, you find that under his rule, one thing that he had the toughest time was to extinguish the passion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He did his best even to send tankers. He shot at the tomb of Imam Hussein. He went in with his army and shot people alive, killed them in the haram of Imam Hussein. It was a treacherous moment during his rule. Treacherous. And when you go back in history, you'll find this love, this passion of Imam Hussein, the spirit, the source of the spirit for Karbala, is so powerful that every enemy on earth has understood the fountain of force and guidance that comes from this place. After Saddam was removed, when the enemies wanted to stop this passion further, they started bombing Karbala. And millions of people were in that region. And many people got killed. But you found the people just in waves kept coming back. In waves kept coming back. You just couldn't stop them. And the world is baffled. Like, go to Imam Rida's Haram in Mashhad. There's never a time where there are not people just crying and loving. The world is baffled. What kind of love is this? What is this love that people have? What is this that people have this incredible attraction to, that none of us in any religion in the world can create such a force? What is this? There's much to talk about this. We hope to unravel it in the next 7 nights. But tonight, that one touch that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as he's crossing, going towards Kufa, Hur, under his leadership, comes and stops Imam Hussein. But Hur was looking for Imam Hussein before he could find him. Look at the akhlaq. Look at the akhlaq of giving. Hur searched for Imam Hussein in the desert, because Imam Hussein did not take the normal caravan route. He took a different route. And Hur was searching for him. And finally Hur finds him. When Hur finds him, the army of Hur was completely dry, meaning they had no water. They were completely without strength. They could barely stand. Imam Hussein, all he had to do was tap on their heads and they would have fallen. I'm being metaphorical here. Imam knows this is the enemy. He knows this is the man who has been sent by a tyrant who wants my head. He wants my family's head. And I can take advantage of him now. And I can kill him. And I can trample him. But the Imam doesn't do that. He treats Hur with dignity. Imam Hussein had limited water. He says, Hur, take the water. Even feed your horses. Take it. Hur, one man in an army of 1,000. Imam is winning him at the cost of giving all his water. Yet we are stingy. We are selfish. We don't care about others. We come to these Islamic centers. Do we have a bother to ask who's sitting next to us? I'm sad when I go to Islamic centers where I see people's attitude is so condescending, straight-necked, rather than humble, pleasant, welcome. Who are you? It's a white man, alhamdulillah, it's a creation of God. It's a black man, alhamdulillah, creation of God. It's an Iraqi, Iranian, Khawaja, alhamdulillah. We're people. No, we have attitudes. Yet we're going to cry for Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein sees an enemy, the one who's come to kill him. And Imam is giving him water. And he's so nice to him that Hur with dignity speaks to Imam Hussein because of the dignity he carries himself with. That's why I love Imam Hussein. I live my life. When I look at people, black, white, I see what a mercy. The human race is a beautiful race. This is why I learned that in the most difficult time, our Imam can take advantage. People have taken others as slaves. Our Imam has the right to fight this enemy, but he doesn't. He feeds him water. He's kind. The Imam starts to lead Salah. Hur is so honored because he had a spark of love for Allah. It was in his heart. It was dormant. And Imam is polishing it. He says, Hur, I'm going to get you. Hur prays behind Imam Hussein. Eventually, Hur prevents Imam Hussein from entering Karbala, and they come to entering Kufa, and they move Imam Hussein, and they end up landing in Karbala. Now, when Hur realizes, because Hur was not convinced that the battle would take place, Imam Hussein's position in Islam is too high. That the messenger said, "Hussein nu minni wa ana min al Hussein." Hussein is from me and I'm from Hussein. Hur knew this. He said, there is no way anybody can fight this man. This is a representative of God. How can anybody fight him? When Umar ibn Sa'd had made the agreement that he was going to attack because Ibn Ziyad from the other side, by the suggestion of Shimr al-Jawshan, said, you have to get this man's head. You've got him cornered. You need it. When Umar ibn Sa'd was about ready to start the battle, Hur on his horse turns to Umar ibn Sa'd and says, are you really going to fight that man? He said, yes, it's decreed. You will see soon, heads will be falling. Soon. And Hur turns. And another companion says, Hur, you look distressed. You look worried. He said, yes, I'm at a point of destiny now. I'm at a point of choosing wrong from right. And I can seal my destiny now. For if I participate in this, I will be doomed forever. And of all the things, it is so clear where truth lies and where false lies. You and I, brothers and sisters, can be like Hur every single day. Every transaction we do, we can be like Hur. Every choice we have between good and evil, we have that choice like Hur. So let's not forget Hur. That Hur hits his horse. Some say he takes his son and his slave with him, and they cross the border. And Hur puts himself on his knees and he comes towards Imam Hussein. Imam comes out of his tent and welcomes him. He says, do you allow me to come with forgiveness? For I'm the one who has brought you here. I'm the one who made you reach this stage. Allah says, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Don't lose hope in the mercy of God, in the forgiveness of God. So Hur comes and he asks Imam Hussein. He said, let me be the first one to go forward to represent you. I am a man who is very good on the horse. And Hur was a very valiant fighter, very powerful fighter. And he asks Imam Hussein, when the battle begins on the day of Ashura, he asks Imam Hussein, give me that opportunity to be the first one to go forward to represent you, because you are the truth. And Imam Hussein allows him to go. And Hur alights on the day of Ashura after the battle began. And he was one of the first on the front, and the enemy even taunted him that, Hur, you chose sides. He said, this is the side of Haqq. You are on the side of battle. And the battle begins, and eventually Hur gets killed. They say a spear landed in his body. And as Hur falls, Imam Hussein alayhi salam carries him. And there's a beautiful statement Imam makes. He says, Hur, your mother knew how to name you Hur. Hur means a free man. Your mother intended for you to be free, and you have died free. And Hur asks Imam Hussein, he says, I want the opportunity to be the first one to go, so that I can meet your grandfather on the other side. That's yaqeen. And we'll talk about this yaqeen inshallah. Ala la'natullahi lal qawm al-zalimin. Wa say'alamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Inshallah, we're going to have a latmiya recited and the azah. Please join and bring the spirit up, please, inshallah.